At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is a heck of a night. You're listening to Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm going to have on Illini guy Brad Sturdy, Illini director of recruiting Kedrick Prince, and later on Matt Stevens, Illini staff writer. It was one heck of a night here as Illinois did an upset of number 10 ranked Michigan State on the Illini home floor, and they did it minus a guy named Kofi Coburn, you may have heard of him, and minus Andre Curbelo. Kedrick, let me know, what is your initial thoughts on the game?
Well, thank goodness they got the W, because we knew what happened last Friday and what everyone thought about last Friday. And hopefully people have short, and you know, they have short amnesia and they'll forget about that game. This was a nice win on so many levels. You know, a good quad one win, a home win without two of your better players. They were out-rebounded and they still won. They didn't shoot free throws well and they still won. Guys stepped up that I have been crying like a little baby about for months. I mean, my guys. I mean, Omar Payne, I'm telling you, and I'll say it again, the kid can help Illinois. He has talent. However, he needs to figure some things out. One of his fouls is – he's played too long to do the things that he's doing. So I get why he's not playing a lot of minutes, but that kid can help him. And what people may not realize, look at the offensive sets that they run when Kofi's not there. The easy layups that they get because Benjamin Bosman Verdun can slip screens and Omar Payne can slip screens very well. The offense is going to be great. If they continue to get a quality big man, Illinois is going to be fine, not just now, but in the future. Luke Gooding, you know, I know his name is going to come up probably 20 times in this podcast. I've always said, and even RJ, the talent and the future of the program is in good hands. It was just really, really nice to see them get this win. And the comments that Tom Izzo made about Brad Underwood and the team and Trent Frazier, I mean, it's time for Trent to start garnishing some of these things nationally, some of these awards, because people have to understand, you know, he's going to get the shot. He's a different player. Teams can't stop him. I really hope he gets his just due with some of these awards going into his last year of college basketball, because he deserves it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Brad, what did you see from your spot on press row?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was good. A lot of energy from the Illinois coaching staff. I felt like they were really, I mean, it sounds weird, they were a little more animated than normal. You know, obviously you talk about the game and, you know, Trent Frazier was great. Luke Goody made big plays. I thought, you know, you think about it, the Benjamin Bosman's rocks and Omar Payne played 35 minutes, had 15 points and 6 rebounds. That's a couple block shots, a couple assists, you know. So those guys actually filled in admirably. You know, for what they were doing. So I thought Illinois did a good job. I thought defense, obviously, is the key. Really did a great job locking up, Michigan State, and especially in the first half, made it tough on them. And, you know, even the one guy is going to be – there are two guys that are kind of unsung that we don't talk about who played good minutes. Where Coleman Hawkins and Monte Williams, neither guy scored, but they really gave you some good stuff on the defensive end. And that's – you know, I think those guys really did a good job. Undersized in many cases. Coleman had to play some five, got the foul trouble. DeMonte guarding Bingham down low and doing a great job.
Yeah.
That that versatility is hard to match. But, you know, so they got enough, just enough offense. I don't know that I've ever seen a team go the final 5-32 without scoring and still find a way to win. But that's just one of those, you take it. This is, you know, if you're in conference play now, just win the game. You know, and that's all there is to it. If you win, you know, it doesn't matter if you win by 1 or 50, especially tonight with the situation they were in with Kofi being out, with Carmelo being out, with COVID and Kofi having the concussion. I think that those are the kind of, that's kind of win you got to get. And now you find a way to win the, you know, win the next one. So I'm a, you know, just keep game by game. Just keep building and get the momentum. Hopefully they'll have those, both those guys back Saturday at Northwestern, and they can go on a run here. You know, we were thinking about going on a losing streak. Now we're thinking about maybe on a winning streak.
Yeah, it is amazing the patience that you have to have as an Illini fan, and just wait till the next game. It can all change. But three things.
That's what's good about basketball, not football. Football, yeah. You lose, you got to wait 6-7 days.
Yeah.
In basketball, a couple of days is different.
Yeah, three things stood out to me from an Illini standpoint. One was when DeMonte forced Bingham to actually do a fadeaway jumper. I was kind of amazed by that. That you know, that somebody that big would do that on a guy 6'2". And then I thought Coleman Hawkins had a couple of his rebounds were just at critical times. And then the final thing was, with all the length that Michigan State throws at you, you have Trent Frazier going 2-for-10 from the three, but 4-for-5 on layups in the lane, where he's getting hip checked, every one of them. And somehow a 6'1 guy is going into the trees and making those layups. His ability to finish has been monstrously improved in the off season.
He's a different player. I mean, he's a year older, he's confident, and he knows this is his team. You know, when the game was over, you know, people were congratulating him, giving him the game ball because he's in the top 10 in scoring. You know what he talked about? Missing that free throw. That's growth, you know. And for all the fans out there, I've done it myself a few times. The game's, it's a 40-minute game, but I thought the MVP of the first half was DeMonte. I don't think I've ever, ever seen him play as hard as he did. He wasn't – a lot of people look at rebounds, and I'm not going to be critical of people, whether you coach or not, but getting a rebound and going to get a rebound is a lot different. DeMonte was going to take rebounds from anybody that had a green shirt on and a white shirt on. He played so hard, and I know – we can all know if you listen to the press conference that people want to go to our site and read, you know, Coach Underwood's comments and quotes from the press conference. You knew what you were going to get tonight. You knew you were going to get a great effort. And to me, he talked about culture. That is Illinois basketball. That is what Illinois basketball will be about until he leaves. They may lose games, but they're going to fight and compete. And I was extremely impressed with how hard they got after. It's been a long time since I, even when they were winning with a three quarters of a roster, they played hard tonight.
Brad, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I think, obviously it's defense.
I think it shows that they have more depth maybe than you thought. You know, I mean, when you talk about, you know, a guy like Goody coming in, and that's that next man up mentality. And, you know, and Underwood mentioned this in his post game. They're going to be better. It sounds weird to say this, but they're going to be better because now they have a guy like Luke Goody. Now they have a guy like Benjamin Bosman-Zerduck. Now they have a guy like Omar Payne, who are now being productive members of the team. And so you play eight guys tonight. You had those two. Now you have 10 guys who've actually gotten some legit experience. You aren't panicking when you have, you know, Kofi gets two fouls. It's not the end of the world now because you know you can play for a few minutes with those other guys. And they can give you a couple minutes. And, you know, DeMonte's having an off game. You got Luke Goody. You know, somebody's not making a shot. You know, Jake didn't shoot a well night. You throw in Luke Goody, and he goes 3-for-4 for 3. So those are the kind of things that make – that's the kind of team that has the depth and enough talent to win when we get into a tournament situation, like the Big Ten tournament, or like we got to win 3 games in 3 days, or maybe the NCAA tournament. We got to win, you know, Friday, Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, whatever it is. And you got a lot of, you know, it's very condensed. You need that depth for guys to keep their legs.
Now, the question I have for you guys is, because they showed it a lot on TV. Obviously, you guys were there at the game. But they showed Izzo just whining and chewing and eating on referees. How exactly did he manage to have a team that's down by 14 points at the half, and yet he ends up having his team shoot 10 more free throws on the road when legitimately his team is trying to get the rally? How did he, what did he do, you know, to kind of chew on the refs to kind of get those calls in his favor? Because to me, that looked like a master's class in how to apply pressure and make sure that, you know, you had everything lined up for a rally. And, of course, they had the bonus early in the second half and the double bonus for quite a few minutes. Brad, could you hear or see anything from there at courtside on what he was doing?
Oh, you know, he was just working. He worked them during the whole one time out. He spent the whole time out working them, talking about this being a foul, that being a foul, and, you know, the hands on the bumping, whatever it was. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thought the game was pretty well officiated. I mean, I know they got the line more. There were a few times I thought Illinois got them, didn't get a couple of calls maybe. More like plays that didn't affect the game, but there was a couple plays where, you know, maybe I thought Trent got hit on a drive that led to a turnover one time, and there was a couple other ones. But overall, I thought it was pretty well officiated game. Illinois fouled a few times, and he got a few of the, maybe a cheap one. He got a cheap one on, you know, Payne down underneath. He got a cheap one on, Ben one time that really probably wasn't a foul. But you know, overall, you know, he just did what he does, and he whines a lot. People hate him, but he's been coaching for over 20 years, and he knows all these guys. He's had, you know, they respect him, and that's an advantage that he has, I think, that maybe other people don't have. You saw it the other day when they went to Wisconsin. You know, so sometimes when you beat them, it's really hard to I think it's somewhat hard to beat them, you know, because of that. I mean, I think when you get in a game like that, they're going to have a little bit of an advantage usually, and just because of the way he works the officials and his relationship he has with all these guys.
Yeah, I think that almost is the point where he is actually a walking home court advantage. The thing that I saw that was frustrating to me as somebody who's coached was, man, if you go watch the films, Julius Marble did a wonderful job of literally pushing people out of bounds or actually from on the court to underneath the basket, you know, while he's rebounding. So people are watching the shot go up and he's busy, you know, cleaning people's clocks, you know, which I thought was genius move, because that's what I tried to do, crap like that all the time. And I was like you. I thought Frazier got hipped almost every time. One time it was a turnover. And there was a couple times when I think sometimes I think Adam Fletcher just trains the Illinois players to be too strong. And if they would, you know, fall down a little more often, maybe they'd get some calls that other teams would. But because they're strong enough, they can kind of play through more, and the refs just decide that it's not a big deal. Ked, what'd you think on that?
I have to be honest with you. I thought the reason Michigan State got to the free throw line, I thought they were more aggressive attacking the basket personally. I cry a lot about officiating. I didn't have a problem with it tonight because, let's be honest, every game, no matter what game it is, whether you're watching Illinois or you're watching, you know, Wisconsin play Maryland, there's going to be some questionable calls. But tonight, I don't think it affected the game in any way, shape, or form. I just thought Michigan State knew because they weren't shooting the three ball well, so they started attacking the basket, which, you know, Coach Underwood said, teams are going to start doing that as long as Kofi's out of the game. So you're going to continue to see it. From an Illinois standpoint, from Coach Underwood's a little different. You know, what I see that he does on the sidelines, Izzo will chew on an official for a long time. You know, there was times where, like, Michigan State was setting legal screen or travel. Brad Underwood, Chester Frazier, and Jeff, and Tim, they all would yell travel, and they would get the call. So tonight, I thought I kind of evened itself out. Underwood's just not one of those whiny guys. And I like his own. Well, I did until what happened last year, but that's a different podcast, what he did to Io Kofi. But I'm a fan of his. but that's just who he is. And Brad's right. He's been around a long time, and people like him and Coach K, that's why I never want to play Duke in the tournament, because 9 times out of 10, he's going to get calls, and it's going to affect how your team plays, especially if you're a team that is not a blue blood or one of the teams that's supposed to be really good that year. So I didn't have a problem tonight. I mean, I did not like the Purdue game. The Purdue game was a little bit different, but tonight I didn't think it was as bad. And it didn't. I don't think it cost them the game at all. Illinois shot a lot of jump shots, so they didn't take the ball to the basket a lot to begin with either.
Yep. And then on a last thing, I thought kind of the interesting thing was while the turnovers weren't too far apart, you know, 11-7, you know, only 2 points off of turnovers for Michigan State. I thought a lot of that was Illinois just busted their butt to get back on defense. Illinois had 15 points off of turnovers, and I thought that was a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. So not only was Illinois causing havoc with the low shooting percentages, holding Michigan State to a dismal 34.5% field goal shooting and a miserable 21.4% from the three, but they were also actually, you know, managing to, you know, get some of those turnovers and turn them into points. I thought that was a big key tonight. Brad, anything else that you saw?
Yeah, how about the if you look at those, some of the numbers, second chance points, Michigan State won 11-0. Only had 0 second chance points.
Yeah.
And Michigan fast break points, Michigan State 12, Illinois 2.
Yep.
And you get outscored in transition and second chance, 23-2, and you win. Those are kind of things that don't happen very often. So a lot of, and you get, and you also have, they shoot, what, 10 more free throws than you do, or whatever, 11 more free throws than you do. So it's pretty wild to actually win that game. But at the end of the day, you know, you just find, they found a way.
Yep.
They found a way to lose to Arizona. They found a way to lose to Purdue. They found a way to lose to Marquette. Found a way to win today. So, you know, this is the kind of game that, you know, maybe they learned from those other losses and got it done. I will say this, that there's a lot of people talk about, you know, Illinois went to stall ball at the end and all this stuff. They really didn't. They ran some really nice actions. If you look at those shots in the final 5:30, they weren't all great. The options were there. I mean, Underwood talked about postgame. Jake Granderson had, who's a almost 50% three-point shooter, had kind of wide open looks that went in and out. Plummer got a good look, went off the front iron.
Yep.
You had Plummer had a great drive, and Bingham makes a great defensive block. I mean, he came out of nowhere. You had DeMonte drive the basket. He has a layup, but he doesn't take it, you know, because he's afraid he's going to get blocked.
Yep.
Trent had a couple of pull-ups. I mean, those are the kind of shots. I mean, that's college basketball. I mean, those are the kind of shots you take, and when you don't have, you know, a guy like Kurt Bello getting the paint or Kofi. And it wasn't like, I don't think any of the shots were rushed. Like, they may have late shot clock, but they weren't, like, rushed. There was only one possession, I thought, when they had the shot clock violation that they passed up. That was when DeMonte passed it up, actually. But really, I mean, overall, it wasn't the offense was that bad. You just got to make shots. And the one thing that Illinois didn't do all night was get to the line. And so when things aren't going well, you're not making shots. You got to find a way to get to the line. You got to draw a foul. And find a way to do that. They aren't very good at that, to be honest, outside of, you know, Kofi. So it is what it is.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of length, which that obviously, you know, Underwood's addressing, you know, as he recruits. Ked, any final thoughts from you on what you saw tonight?
Well, again, I think it's a learning experience. You know, we all talked about things, but the thing I really like, you know, that Brad mentioned was the, you know, being able to play the young guys or guys to give you more depth, because you're going to need that to trust those guys. And that was huge for me, because, again, you won at home against the top 10 team with two of your better players sitting out. I think that's a statement. I liked it because it was on ESPN, which was a nationally televised game. Then, you know, you're going to get a lot of exposure, a lot of feedback from that. And it's also, you know, it sends a wake-up call to the rest of the Big Ten. But Illinois, you know, you're going to have to play them. You're not just going to roll over and come in and beat them. Yes, they play bad against Maryland, but there's too many games. I mean, you're not going to play well, play great every time. You're not going to win every game. So to me, you know, that's in the past. You got to move forward. Northwestern is not going to be easy. They went to Michigan State and won at Michigan State. It's been a while since Illinois has done that. So you can't take that game lightly. I hope they get the rest. I hope they get Kofi and Cabello back and they can get a healthy roster together so they can win, compete, and have the season that we all hope that they would have. But I tweeted it earlier today. I have to give kudos to the whole staff. They just piece things together. And, you know, if you've ever coached before, having a practice at any level without 10 people, it's hard. It is really, really hard to do because people defend things differently. So kudos to them and to the team. And the fans continue to show up, which is great. You know, again, I love the national attention that they're getting and who's at the game tonight. So just got to keep moving in the right direction.
Brad, I'm going to give you the final word on that. What are your thoughts, you know, on any wrap-up thoughts or anything that we haven't hit on yet?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you got to play with that same effort, intensity, the energy. And even when you get Kofi and Curbelo back, you can't – I think they still have to play with that same energy and go to the – you know, they went to the defensive glass. You saw some guys do that. A lot of times with Kofi, maybe they don't do that. They just rely on him to – clean the glass. And so I think there's some like getting them back, is if they continue to play with this kind of energy they played with tonight on the defensive end, Kofi obviously clears things out inside because people worry about him. And they don't really worry about Benjamin Mosman's Verdonk or Omar Payne right now. So they can really close out on shooters. Kofi opens up the shooting lanes and the driving lanes and creates gaps and just because of his presence. So get him back and you're going to be a better team. This is a team just has to keep getting better. And obviously they're in the hunt for the Big Ten title. They're in first place. They win Saturday, they'd be in first place halfway through. And that's a good place to be. You'd rather be there than anywhere else. Now it's just getting healthy, finding a way to get in the little groove. And I'm going to be honest with you. If this is a fully healthy team in 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road, this is a team that can do damage. This is a team that can make a run in the NCAA tournament. And I'll be honest, and the other thing I want to say to all the LA fans, now, I don't want to hear you crying anymore about no quality wins or no quad one wins or any of that crap. Stop. It's over. They got it. They may have three by Saturday if Michigan wins. So it's okay.
Perfect. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I know you guys are en route from the game. I certainly appreciate the fact that you guys are able to jump on here and give the fans a little bit of your insight on the game tonight. And now we take a turn to Matt Stevens, who was also there, the Illini beat reporter for IlliniGuys.com. He was there in the State Farm Center, and we're going to get his impressions of what he saw. Matt, there was a lot of stuff going on tonight, a lot of storylines going on tonight with Curbelo gone, Kofi gone from the lineup, playing the number 10 team. What jumps out at you after you've seen the game and had a chance to sit back and reflect?
That what I've been saying since, I don't know, Thanksgiving, when this team sits down and defends and actually gives a darn on that end of the floor, no matter what they do offensively, they can win a ball game. And I thought you got a hell of an effort out of the guys that were in Kofi's spot on the five at the five defensively. And I think that really bothered Michigan State because they did not dominate points in the paint like they should have if Kofi Coburn's not on the floor. And you got a hell of an effort out of your fifth year guys. I thought Trent Frazier, while the box score is going to say he didn't shoot it really well, I thought he played his butt off.
Yeah.
Again, just did classic Trent stuff on defense. And then I thought you got, I'm gonna preach to people and they're not gonna like it, and I've been doing it all year, but you got a hell of an effort out of Demonte Williams tonight. And I'm writing a story that will go up on Illini Guys about how both head coaches think he's the reason they won. He didn't score a point. He played 27 minutes.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of fans who'll just recoil at that. And I think, yeah, I even tweeted it during the game. People are gonna miss Demonte Williams next year, whether they admit it or not.
Yeah, and I'm not saying this because they're bad people.
Oh, I agree with that.
But thank God those fans don't coach the Fighting Illini men's basketball team, because if they did, Illinois would lose a lot more games. And yep, you got a future Hall of Famer in Tom Izzo, and a guy who's, quite honestly, I think from a confidence level standpoint, feeling himself about as much as the dude whose name is on the floor here at the State Farm Center, in Brad Underwood, that you know, they're pretty good at what they do for a living. And when they tell me that this dude is a reason why, I watched Damonte Williams, Mike, for six straight possessions guard Marcus Bingham. And Marcus Bingham is 6'11", and he's 260 pounds. And he didn't put 2 feet in the lane when Damonte Williams was guarding him. Didn't put 2 feet in the lane. And they had no interior offense because Damonte Williams was not going to let him get any kind of, you know, footing to get a post touch that was going to be worth a darn for Michigan State. Then he guards the point guard on one of the last possessions and helps, you know, basically prevent Michigan State from getting a bucket there on the shot that Luke Goody ended up getting the rebound on. And then the last part I thought it was a guy I just named, which is, I thought you got a hell of an effort out of Luke Goody tonight, who, again, Tom Izzo's a big fan of Luke Goody, and he ought to be because he recruited him a long time to Michigan State, because Fort Wayne, Indiana is not that far away from Michigan State. And the kid produced tonight. And like he thought, like I think Tom Izzo thought he would, because you don't recruit that hard a kid if you're Michigan State, if you don't think you can play basketball. And Luke just does. There's been a lot of people, I'll just say, who think the freshmen ought to get more tick. All right. And as a group, I can come to tell you right now that Luke Goody has figured out, and after listening to him, well, as much as I have, he sounds like a 25-year-old. And I understand now why, like, because he understood early and often, gee, okay, what are the things that really tick off my head coach? Okay, I won't do those things. And then then suddenly Luke figured out that magical equation equals more playing time for Luke Goody.
Right.
And it's amazing to me that some of these other dudes who are down the level of the bench haven't figured this out yet. And so, I thought those are the guys that you just got a hell of an effort out of tonight. And if this thing continues to fester with not having Kofi, and not having Bello, because I'm not a doctor and I don't know how long this is going to last. You're going to have to start winning Big Ten rock fights like this. And it's really awesome to have a night like this when you know you can do it on the defensive end, and you can do it from a toughness standpoint, and you can do it on the glass. And you have fifth year seniors that know how to do it. And I thought, because I asked Brad the question, Mike, the other day, I said, do you have a locker room that you can trust that can say, hey, you know, Maryland can't happen anymore. That night can't ever happen again. Because Mike, you and I both know this Illini team had a dude named Io DeSumo who would walk in the locker room and say, that's not going to happen again. Not under my watch. I don't care what the coaches say. You're going to have to deal with me if you play like that again. And I thought it was really funny that Io was here tonight and he got to watch some dudes like Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams figure out that, you know, those were my lieutenants a couple of years ago and last year. And now they're generals and commanders of this locker room. And you figured that out tonight. And while I think Michigan State's going to be really good, and I think that they're going to be a tough out the rest of the year, and I think they're going to be a tough out in March. They built their entire program on, we're just going to play harder and we're going to play tougher than you. We are tougher than you. And it's so funny that now Tom Izzo has to go up against a dude in Brad Underwood that has basically built his entire program on, I'm going to coach my guys harder and we're going to play tougher than you. And it's always made for what I would say is probably a bad matchup for Illinois, because Tom's been doing it a wee bit longer at Michigan State than Brad's been doing it at Illinois. But I mean, this was a culture win for Illinois. And I think it was big. I think it was so, so big for so many different reasons, but the most of which being Brad Underwood can go into practice tomorrow and the next day and go, guys, you can do this. I've seen you do it. I don't have to hold the cattle prod up to your leg anymore. You know how to do this. You can do it.
Yeah. And I think the other interesting thing is, you know, when I watched Damonte, what I thought was the most fun was he actually forced Bingham to take a shot on the left side where Bingham was, I don't know, 8-9 feet from the basket, and actually shot leaning backwards against a guy who's 6'2", maybe 6'3" in his shoes. I didn't expect to see a 6'10", 6'11" guy not be leaning in and using that size, but Demonte didn't let him. And I thought that was one of those moments during the game that you're thinking to yourself, people, you know, it's not something that you really watch unless you're kind of trained eye a little bit, but you're thinking to yourself, man, people are going to miss this dude. Because who's going to...
Mike, it reminded me 2 years ago in Mackey Arena when I watched Matt Harms be guarded by Demonte Williams. And literally Matt Harms is standing there going, why am I not dominating this dude?
Yeah.
Like, honestly. And the reason that you aren't dominating this dude is because he's one of the strongest dudes in the league. He's not going to move. And he also knows more or less how to play defense without fouling. And he also understands, you know, everything that Brad under, like, again, we go back to like what Luke Goody figured out in the preseason of his freshman year. Like, Demonte Williams has perfected, if I do all of these things that my head coach, you know, if I don't do any of the things that really tick off my head coach, I will be on the floor during winning time. And there are dudes on every team, Mike, and you've known this coaching as long as you have, and I've watched it as long as I have. And Brad's watched, Underwood has watched this as long as he has. There are just dudes that you miss because it just makes winning harder without them. And Demonte Williams and Trent Frazier are two of those dudes that, you know, you want to know why senior night's going to be really, really difficult for Brad Underwood. It's going to be because he's now got to figure out, okay, how do I win without these two dudes? But this team has figured out that the defensive end of the floor, especially in this conference, is how you're going to win a regular season championship. And, you know, despite what happened against Maryland, you were able to rebound without two premier players and do what you needed to do on that end of the floor to get a victory. And against, you know, a team that I think is just going to continue to get wins and make this win look better and better and better and better. And you kept yourself in the race for the Big Ten regular season championship. And nothing I'm talking about has anything to do with whether or not how many times they put the ball in the basket. And so this team just had a maturity to it tonight that I felt like was just heartwarming to see, especially after what happened at Maryland, especially right after that.
Yeah. And it was hard to see, like I said, when you look at you look at Maryland, which was a frustrating loss, but understandable. They're a rough match, and they seem to have had Illinois' number for a number of years now. But now one moves their eyes to hoping that you know they can keep this type of effort, you know, at the beck and call when they have to play Northwestern, which Northwestern's an easy team. That if you're not disciplined, you could overlook them and end up the way Michigan State did just a couple of weeks ago, and on the wrong side of a loss that you really don't want to take. And the other thing is one worries with, you know, the number of guys who aren't feeling well, how hard, you know, can you practice them and you know, so that they've got the right amount of energy for games. It was clear that Underwood had a good handle on that today. And, they didn't appear to be too gassed. Although there's always critics and they'll say, well, they didn't score the last 5:32. So maybe they were tired, but right. They also played pretty dang tough defense that whole time. So that tells me they were okay. But to me, if I was coaching the Illini, the two things I'd be worried about is, you know, can we now build on this from a defensive effort standpoint? And then how much do I condition them under these rare circumstances when you've had a COVID outbreak, you've had a flu outbreak? You know, it's just, these are just weird times that no other coaching staff, you know, no other era, you know, Lou Henson never had to deal with this, you know, et cetera. We can go through the historical sure. Illinois coaches. And so to me, that's a little bit of new ground that Coach Underwood's going to have to figure out along with Adam Fletcher and the staff. How do they chart their way through these rocky waters?
Well, Mike, quickly on that point, like, I asked the question about a week and a half ago to Brad Underwood about maintenance days for Trent Frazier. Like, they're trying. Like, but when Trent walks into the either right here at State Farm Center or at Ubbin and says, no, I'm practicing today. Like, what do you, I mean, I understand you've got to protect the young man for himself, but like, if he wants to practice and he wants, like, what are you supposed to, like, if you're Brad Underwood, I don't understand what he's supposed to do. Like, no, Trent, thing, you're supposed to sit that out today. You're supposed to sit out that out today.
No, but what you do look at is maybe you say, like, normally, because Underwood knows what he's going to do. I mean, you know, he's been doing this for years. But maybe you make a 90-minute practice, 60 minutes.
No, and I think there's things that he can do. And I think Underwood's smart enough to do that.
Oh, no, I have no doubt.
If he were to give, and I know they have, like when Trent had the fall, okay, after the in the practice right before, like, I think it was the Purdue game, or even right after the Purdue game, and he didn't practice all the way up to, like, Maryland, right? This staff has been trying to find excuses to give Trent maintenance days on practice. And that was one where they're like, look, Trent, like, you're not practicing. Like, this is physical. Okay. Like, you have to listen to us. But like, if he gives Trent like a maintenance day and practice stinks, like, Underwood, like, oh crap, we're going to lose. Like, you know, cause the team's not ready to go. Like, so Trent knows how much he's needed and how much he's needed, you know, in days where they don't play games in front of nationally televised audiences and 17,000 people who only see them during games. Like,
right.
So I just think that this team has, you know what, Mike, is that this team has a maturity I didn't know that it had going into this game tonight. Like, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, like, up until tonight, if it was easy, this team tended to choose to do it, whether it was going under screens or, you know, not getting that last box out or, you know, not, you know, grinding on the defensive end the way that they need because the shots aren't falling. If it was easy, this team tended to choose to do it. And last year's team just didn't operate that way. Tonight reminded me of what last year's team looked like because they did everything that was hard and got rewarded for it. I mean, I'll just say this, and beyond anything the Orange Crush wants to tell Max Christie during the game, Max Christie very much does not stink as a basketball player. But Max Christie figured out what a lot of people in the Big Ten have figured out, that if I'm getting guarded by Trent Frazier, guess what? I'm probably not going to have the best night. And sure enough, Max Christie has a terrible night offensively because he's being guarded by Trent Frazier. And so, there are winning things that Illinois did tonight that I was so surprised in a way, but reminded that they could do, that I feel like this is the jumping off point for what this Illinois team could be in February and in March.
Right. Well, and I think tonight the one guy who, or the team that did the easy thing was actually Michigan State in the first half.
Yes.
They went under picks. They took the easy route and that gap that they got behind, you know, that 14 points at the half that Illinois then was able to through a little bit of back and forth, got up to 15. They needed every point of that when the game was done, obviously, to win. And a lot of that goes in the first half, the team that, quote, blinked and took the easy route. And it's rare that it happens under Tom Izzo, but it happened tonight. They took the easy route in the first half and they paid for it.
Yeah, and I thought Izzo kind of pointed out that, so they go to Madison and probably play the best they have in quite a while.
Yeah.
And to get that win over the Badgers. And then they come here and they prepared for Kofi and Bello. So they thought they were going to play. It wasn't like they walked in here knowing, okay, we're playing an Illinois team that's, you know, not that far removed from, you know, a JV roster. Like, that they didn't have that thought because they thought Kofi and Bello were going to play. But Tom did remind everybody, look, I've been dealing with this inconsistency all year, and we've kind of bottled it and, you know, hit it around, you know, six, seven conference wins. But I mean, my thing with Michigan State is that they have totally revamped the guard position in a matter of a year. Because remember, they were basically based off of what? They were based off of Rocket Watts and a lot of other guards that just aren't there anymore. Now they've totally revamped the point guard position, and it's still the same deal that Izzo comes in and goes, we stink at the point guard position and we stink at the guard positions, and I can't get any consistency out of my guards. I was glad Izzo pointed out, look, they had 9 turnovers in the first half. And I, again, a maturity from Illinois to know, okay, we don't have Kofi, we don't have Bello, specifically, we don't have Kofi. We're not going to be able to like just turn it over at a 25% clip like we normally do, like
right,
all year. So they didn't. And Michigan State turned it over a good amount, and Illinois took advantage of those turnovers. I think it was at one point it was 15-2 on points off a turnover.
I think that's where it ended up as well.
Yeah. And I mean, Illinois needed that advantage. And again, that's the defensive end of the floor turning into easy offense for Illinois. And I thought, you know, but yeah, I don't think Michigan State's going to, you know, fester on this loss more than I think. I do think Izzo's going to crack the whip on him, and especially his guards coming out of this game. I wouldn't be surprised if Brad Underwood kind of eases off and goes, you know, okay, I've proven my point. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, you know, I'm going to coach this team the way I coach this team. I know what I'm doing, you know, and it's working. So, again, he said it was a culture win, and I don't disagree with him. He being Brad Underwood, sorry. I would agree with that, but I also thought it was a maturity win tonight out of Illinois. And you got that maturity out of 2 fifth-year seniors and a freshman who acts like he's 25 years old that I think is going to be really, really good. Mike, we had him on. I wanted to throw this out at you because I'm 37. You're older than me, so you can tell me if this is a ridiculous comp. The reincarnation of Doug Altenberger, who we just had a couple of weeks ago on our radio show, is Luke Goody to me. I mean, that's to me is what that young man is. And
a little, little bit bigger because, you know, yeah, I think Altenberger is probably 6'4", maybe 6'5". And, you know,
but from a toughness standpoint, from a shooting standpoint, from a just how to knows how to play basketball at a very, very young age type of deal.
And he could probably play quarterback for the football team.
Right now, he probably could.
Because like, I tell you what, man, that arm that I saw prior to the Nebraska game was pretty good. No, I thought was really interesting. If you go back and watch the tape, the first thing he did when he got into the game was he had to tell Bosman's Verdonk where to go on the offense and what cut to make. And if you watch that, you don't usually see a freshman come into a high-pressure game against a top 10 team. And when the offense gets called, has to literally arrange two people to get them to do the right thing. And yeah, that shows you the knowledge of the game, but it's also the leadership that he's willing to do that in front of 15,000 screaming people on ESPN and take control of a situation that many people would be like, yeah, they're older than me. They'll figure it out.
Right. And I think that's part of his maturity. And I think that's going to earn him, you know, a spot in this rotation as we go forward here in February and March. Oh, by the way, I haven't even mentioned, I don't know if you agree with me, Mike, but it's the best Omar Payne's looked in an Illinois jersey, period.
Oh, yeah. Except for that one dumb foul, but
it's funny you say that because I said it to Brad Underwood. I said, regardless of the four fouls, put that aside. Best Omar's looked in a while. And if you could get that every night, you'd take it and be happy with it. Right. And the first thing out of Brad's mouth was, yeah, except for the really dumb foul, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but other than that, like from an energy standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from a rebounding standpoint, from a just understanding how to guard Marcus Bingham, like, and Joey Hauser, like the way that I need to guard them.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There wasn't a foot that, except for the fouls. He needs to not do that because at the 14 minute mark of the second half, I don't need to want to hear Tim Sinclair say Brandon Lieb checking in for the Illini. I think Omar had his best game.
Like, I agree totally.
Honestly, and I know that we have so many good analysis of basketball coming out of Brad Sturdy and Ked. I sat next to Sturdy during the post game, and I literally whispered to him. I said, "This has got to be what you saw out of Omar in the preseason, like when he was just this dude that everybody thought, boy, he's going to be the perfect backup to Kofi, and everything's going to be fine, and everything's like when everything." And he's like, "Yeah, this is what he looked like." And you know, if he can put that together for 15 minutes a night, like, great. And Brad Underwood even admitted, I thought about starting him because he's been that good in practice over the last couple of days. Like, so, I mean, I'm not suggesting that they want to play without Kofi. God, I'm not an idiot. But what I am saying is that this is giving another we talk about maturity. This is another example of how Omar Payne can mature as a basketball player right now, because he's needed right now. And if there's anything that we know is that, you know, BBV and Omar are going to be needed for a combined 40 minutes, and they got to give them something. And from an energy and a maturity and an intelligence standpoint, beyond the fouls, I thought that was Omar's best game in an Illinois jersey. I really did. And I think he's just getting more and more confident. And I think that was another key, is that, again, when you put Omar in the game, it was a plus on the defensive end of the floor. And Michigan State wasn't able to get easy buckets with a Bingham or a Hauser when they were on the floor. And that was huge in a game that, you know, it was 56-55 at the end of the night. Like, any kind of bucket that didn't take a whole lot of effort was gold tonight. And Omar Payne didn't allow that to happen.
Yeah. And I thought the interesting thing is, I think I tweeted, that Illinois is going to need help on high for a win here. And little did I think that would come in the fashion of a attempted free throw miss that would go in and essentially ice the game for the Illini. But this is what an old 54-year-old who's watched a boatload of Big Ten games over the last 40 years. I don't care if we win it by 0.1 point. It's still a win. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care if it's away. I don't care if we win a game by 0.1-0. It's still a win. Mm-hmm. And so, I thought this team played excellent on the defensive end, which determined everything else. Any final thoughts before we close this down?
I think Illinois looks a lot different on paper, and I think they look a lot different on film, and I think they look a lot different in terms of just from a confidence standpoint without a first-team All-American in Kofi Coburn and a guy that can be one of the nation's most exciting point guards in Andre Carbello. And I think for lack of a better term, there are so many reasons why Illinois needed this tonight. And on paper, they needed it just because they need a signature win. But in terms of what you see with your eyes, they needed to be able to experience winning a game where the analytics are going to say Illinois stunk on offense. Let's just be honest. And I don't care. To your point that you just made, Mike, I don't care what it looks like. I really don't. I really don't care what it looks like. If you have to muck this thing up for 40 minutes to beat Michigan State, a top 10 team in your own building, then muck the darn thing up. I don't care. I mean, and I don't feel like Illinois mucked it up as much.
I was going to say, I didn't feel they did that. I thought
what I mean by muck it up is just like, if you have to do all the dirty stuff, and if you have to do all the stuff that takes effort and guts and grit and toughness that Brad Underwood's been talking about for the last 5 years that he's had the freaking job, like, they needed to see that the ball doesn't always have to go in for you to win a basketball game. Like, there are other things that you can do in order to pull something out. And that's exactly what Illinois did tonight. It wasn't pretty, and it's not one for the archives, but it needed to happen because this team needed to show its maturity on a level that is what teams that, you know, can go deep in March show eventually on a night. Like, I mean, it's not as good an opponent, but I mean, you're looking at, like, Auburn won tonight with 56 points. Like, I mean, you have to get a W, you know, in ways that aren't comfortable sometimes. And this sure wasn't comfortable for Illinois when they showed up at the arena tonight. And you got an elite performance on one end of the floor, and you showed a mature – I keep using this word, but you just showed a maturity that I wasn't entirely sure that this team had, only because Io DeSumo meant so damn much to this program the last couple of years. And his void was showing in certain situations late in games, on both ends of the floor, but in late in games, and his leadership void was showing on this team. And I feel like his void got covered tonight by, you know, all the dudes that I just mentioned, because they were needed, and it was you know, everybody had a job tonight, and for the most part, pretty much it got done. And yep. So I think that I think this is a jumping off point for Illinois. I really, really do. In a game that statistically, I think KenPom's going to rate this game probably as Illinois, one of Illinois' worst Big Ten games. I don't care. Like, I mean, I don't care what the analytics numbers are. They're going to be better offensively the more that they practice with the group that they have. They just are. Like, there's the more reps you have with the group that you have, it's going to be fine. But I think this could be a jumping off point because Mike, we may not have a podcast here before that game on Saturday. I've covered that game. I've covered that Northwestern game in Evanston enough to know you chalk that up as an Illinois home game on Saturday. We all know that it's going to be like it always ends up being one. Like, so from a comfort level standpoint, Illinois always feels good about playing in Welch Ryan. And I think, again, they can get on a roll here, and they've got an opportunity here to get on a roll and continue to, you know, be the leader in the, of the pack in the Big Ten. And I wasn't sure I felt that way coming to the arena tonight.
Yep. Well, thanks for your coverage here. Sure. That was Matt Stevens, the Illini Guys beat reporter and staff reporter who covers the Illini football program, also works with the Illini basketball program. This is Mike Kegley. We want to thank Brad Sturdy, fellow Illini guy, along with Kedrick Prince, director of recruiting. We would tell you that, please, if you like what you heard today, you can also go to Sturdy for 30. That's Brad's award-winning podcast that he has. You can also search and get Ked's Recruiting Roundup, which features all sorts of recruiting stories from the parent and the player point of view, a totally different angle than what you hear anywhere else. And, of course, you can check out, Matt referred to it, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our two-hour weekly radio show that is on 25 stations in the state of Illinois. All you need to do is go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button at the top, and it will show you a list of the stations and what time we are on. We would love to have you tune in. And if you do tune in, please call that station up. Tell them you appreciate that the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is on the station. And I'm getting really tired of calling all these stations and trying to sound like different, you know, people, like old lady me. Hey, that's a great show. And then really angry me. Man, don't ever take that off. So if we can get a few more people calling in, that'd be great. They're starting to get on to me. Additionally, and one final thing, you have IlliniGuys.com, the number one source for inside information. Let's just say that Illini Guys subscribers, they knew well over 12 hours before the game that Bello and Kofi would not be playing. If you want to have stuff, you want inside information, subscribe, go back on our message boards. You'll see how the sausage gets made. Sometimes it's ugly, sometimes it's not. But you'll see how the teams get, the players they get. You'll see who they maybe decided they didn't want. You'll get the real stories, and you'll understand how the Illini teams that you love to watch, how they end up looking the way they do. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great evening.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.